Today I'm going to talk about, continue this series on prayer, on different types of prayer. And I want to open with an illustration. Grew up most of my life in northern Kentucky, just 8 miles south of Cincinnati, Ohio, so we're near the border. And the most northern town in Kentucky is Covington. And my sister right now is she was the city clerk, and now she works for the mayor. So God's really blessed her that way. But Covington is one of those cities with this long, rich history, kind of real Germanic history. They have Oktoberfest in the area there every year, and got a historic downtown, different things like that. But I'm old enough to remember the trolleys that ran through the downtown. Now, not being from the Midwest, do you remember any trolleys? Were trolleys in Omaha? Old Market or anything like that? Were there trolleys that run through there? Well, at the Spaghetti Works, there's a trolley car there, so I'm guessing there probably was. Any other towns around here in the Midwest, they had trolley cars? Des Moines did. St. Joe? Kansas City? And had a few horses. That's kind of before my time. Well, no, horses are not. There's still horses around today. So I guess that's not before my time. But these trolleys, you know, they travel on like little train tracks down through town. But above them was this intricate weave of electrical wires and the... And you remember the pole that would go up, two poles, I think, that would go up against the wires, and of course that would transfer the electricity down to the trolley so it could move ahead through those streets. And I remember as a child seeing the sparks fly off those. You know, they would just hit a little bump or something, it would just spark and whatever. And I actually saw John F. Kennedy. I was a child, and I remember sitting in a rainy day on top of my grandfather's shoulders and looking out above the crowd, and there was a man, and that was John F. Kennedy up there speaking when he was running for El Presidente. So that was downtown Covington. Well, in his book, Master Secrets of Prayer, Cameron V. Thompson offers this illustration. Trams and trolleys and some buses have long poles which reach up and bring electricity and power to the motors from overhead wires. The poles may be within an inch of the wire, yet no power can pass. The bus or trolley stays in the same place. The people inside can sing and shout and preach and hold a great meeting, but when they get out, they are still in the same place. That's why prayer is indispensable for every believer and every church. Prayer is where we draw on the power of heaven to propel and advance the kingdom of God in this world. And I'm grateful for these regular weekly prayer meetings we have. One's at Mabel's house, one's here at the men every Saturday morning, and then some of you pray before the service here. And I know many in your homes lift up prayer for this church so the trolley of Harvest Fellowship can go forward, and so the trolley of your family or your own life can go forward. And so prayer is indispensable. Now, if you have a Bible with you, turn to 1 Timothy 2. As you're turning there, of course, Paul the Apostle is exhorting Timothy as a young pastor in church in Ephesus. You might say this 1 Timothy is how to plant a church. That's what 1 Timothy is. Or how to organize a church. Some of the things you should do, what you shouldn't do. You know, he tells them in there, Timothy, you know, there should be the public reading of the word. There should be prayer offered. There should be elders. You need to appoint elders. You know, and so you develop a leadership team, and we as a church, we've tried to follow that pattern of Scripture of appointed elders who form a leadership team. And so there's no, you know, I may be the pastor and kind of the head elder, but I'm part of a band of brothers, elders who are accountable to one another and who really offer the leadership of the church. But here's what he has to say about prayer in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. And he says this: "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high position, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." Now, we want to look at those first four verses. Really, the first verse. Back to the first verse. He says, first of all, then I urge that, and he says four different types of prayer in this passage. And again, what I'm going to teach on today is not limited to this passage. There are other types of prayer. I will touch on those today. But from this, our foundational verse here, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. And notice the goal of all these prayers: the good of the world and society we live in, and the salvation of all. That gives us something to pray about, wouldn't you say? The good of the society. You know, pray for kings and everyone in authority. You might live godly and peaceful lives. You know, that the society we live in can become a better place if the people of God pray. And it talks about in here that people come somehow in that mystery of how we work with Christ through prayer. Seems to indicate in this passage that it results in the salvation of lost people. And so, the good of society and salvation of the lost, great motivations for us to pray. So he lists four types here. Well, I want to open with one type that isn't listed here, and we'll call the first type general prayer. I spoke on this, really have touched on it a couple times, and so I won't say very much more, except to say that we need, all of us need, a daily consistent prayer of this type. Just a daily general prayer coming to the Lord. And Jesus gave us that pattern in the Lord's Prayer as a general outline for just our regular daily prayer, seeking the Lord. And as we were to ask in that Lord's Prayer for our daily bread, that's to suggest to us that we need to be daily about the business of prayer. So there's general prayer. You know, and these other types of prayer we're going to look at today, they will regularly make their way into our general prayer, but they should not replace this regular mode of communion with God. So general prayer is a type of prayer. Secondly, we see supplication in this list. Now let me give you some honesty here. I really searched this out, and I really could not nail down a specific understanding for supplication. I know my wife was shared with me a study she'd heard on supplication once, that it meant, that the Greek word meant to fold oneself over. And it's that picture of bowing and humbling ourselves in prayer, to fold oneself over. But boy, I looked into that Greek, I just could not find it. But it certainly gives a picture for the meaning of this word. And My general conclusion is supplication means an earnest prayer of submission. An earnest prayer of submission. Roy Hessian used to say, God likes to take that proud I, picture the letter, capital letter I, and He likes to bend it into a C. Not I, but Christ. Supplication certainly is this earnest prayer of submission, the bowing of our heart and the bending of our will and the yielding of ourselves to the Lord. I know that in one of our sessions yesterday, they asked our military people, what was the purpose of boot camp? And no one said this, but I thought, the bending of your will. It is, because if you don't learn to obey, you're going to end up dead. And you better learn to obey, learn submission, learn obedience. That's boot camp. And that's the boot camp for every Christian too, amen? And that's what supplication is, earnest prayer of submission. Often the prayer of supplication it may include brokenness, repentance, humiliation, a crying out to God. It might be a time when we're in confession of sin and a declaration of our need. Two pictures of that come from the Scripture are when people would fast in sackcloth and ashes, and they would humble themselves before the Lord. They'd throw ashes on their head. They would be filthy with ashes, but they would just say, I am nothing. I need God. It was an earnest prayer of submission, a supplication. The other image I see comes from Psalm 51. And if you're familiar with that, you know that that is David's cry of repentance. Here he was, the shepherd after God's own heart, and his heart had grown cold. He'd fallen into adultery. His decisions resulted in the death of a man. And then how God broke him. In Psalm 51, we see that brokenness, that prayer of supplication, crying out to God, humbling himself before the Lord, supplication. Certainly that's a type of prayer we need to bring into our lives. Now, is this going to happen every day? Now, I'm going to conclude this message by saying this. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us into each of these types of prayer. And He, the Holy Spirit, will emphasize different things in different seasons of our life. There are times when we'll turn to the Lord in regular, general, daily prayer, and immediately we'll go into intercession or supplication. We'll talk about that. But it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't think we say, oh, let's see, Pastor Scott says I need to be doing all these different types of prayer. Well, let's dedicate the next 5 minutes to supplication, what do you say? No. There will be some times where you'll just be business as usual, just loving the Lord, and God will convict you, and you'll be on your face before Him, and you're broken before Him, and yielded to Him. The Holy Spirit will lead us into these types of prayer. So there's general prayer, there's supplication. Next, it just says there in 1 Timothy 2:1, prayers. That's considered as one of the types of prayer, and that word is defined as prayers of petition. Prayers of petition. That we're petitioning God. God, I'm coming before you on behalf of my friend, and I've got a medical procedure tomorrow. I pray, Lord, that it would just go well. Pray that you would heal them, Lord. They wouldn't even need it. But if they do need it, Lord, raise them up. Guide the doctors. Bless them. Bring healing and help to them. It's a prayer of petition. And you've heard me say, that's what these arrow prayers are through our day. An arrow prayer is, and seems to me it more often happens when I'm driving. I'll be driving and I'll think, oh, so-and-so is having surgery at 10. Oh, it's 10 o'clock. Oh, God, be with him. See? I just shoot an arrow. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe is ready to receive these prayers that we offer, these petitions. that we don't have to work ourselves up and go through some process, and now I offer this petition. But that we can turn to God anytime and say, "Oh Lord, so-and-so is applying for a job. Grant them grace. Thy will be done." You know? So we just shoot up a prayer, like an arrow, just shoot it up. That prayer time with God may last 10 seconds, it may last 10 minutes. But it's just kind of those throughout the day, little interruptions where we stop or pause to offer a prayer of petition to the Lord. So, general prayer, supplication, prayers, and then the Scripture says, intercessions. And so there is intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is prayer on behalf of another. Prayer on behalf of another. It's probably represented in that verse of Scripture that talks about a couple verses, standing in the gap. God said, "I sought for a man to stand in the gap and to build up the hedge." It's almost like the gap in a fence, you know, where the enemy is pouring through. God says, "I sought for a man to stand in the gap in prayer so that the enemy can't enter." Of course, in that passage, he was very disappointed that he was unable to find one. May God find in us intercessors available to stand in the gap. Because intercessory prayer is prayer on behalf of another. You know, Romans 8:34 tells us that Jesus stands in the gap for us. He's at the right hand of God the Father, where He is interceding for us. Interceding for us. The Barnes commentary says this about this passage, that Jesus pleads our cause and aids and assists us and presents our interests before the mercy seat of heaven. Wow, Jesus there at the right hand of the Father, pleading our cause, aiding us and assisting us, presenting our interests before the mercy seat, before God the Father in heaven. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer, I see... one type of intercessory prayer in Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, if you remember, Daniel is in the land of Babylon. 70 years prior, his homeland of Israel had been overrun and conquered by the nation of Babylon, and the best and the brightest were taken to Babylon. In the prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah said they would be there for 70 years, and Daniel said, "One day, I'm reading just this quiet time, reading the Scripture, reading Jeremiah, when the Lord said, it's the 70 years are about up." And I'm sure he got out the calendar, did the count, and whoa! So he set himself to seek the Lord and to pray. And it says that in Daniel 9, he turned his face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And here's a key to this type of prayer. If you read that prayer in Daniel 9, Daniel identifies with the sinfulness of his nation as though it's his own sin. It seems to me in intercessory prayer, there's an identification. Daniel himself had not entered into the sins to which he is confessing. Well, I think in there it does say, "I was confessing my own sin." Yes. We can always find something in there, can't we? But then he just joined himself in his prayer to Israel. "We have sinned. We have turned against You. We deserved Your punishment. Your wrath was upon us. Have mercy on us. Forgive us." So intercessory prayer identifies with the one we are praying for. And when we pray for our nation, intercessory prayer would be, "God, forgive us our abortions. Forgive us our sexual perversions. Forgive us our crime and our hatred. Forgive us our selfishness and our materialism. You yourself may not have committed any of those sins mentioned, but you're identifying as an intercessor with your nation. You're crying out to the Lord. Now there's a subcategory to intercessory prayer that's called, commonly referred to as prophetic intercession. Prophetic intercession is, I am standing in the gap on behalf of another. God, what's your heart? I don't believe you have to be a prophet to enter into prophetic intercession. Acts chapter 2 basically says, when the Holy Spirit comes, the people of God become a prophetic people. You know what prophecy is? The ability to hear from God and to tell others what you've heard. That is something every believer has. Now, there are those who have the prophetic gift. They certainly enter into this prophetic intercession. They enter into this. This is probably a predominant gift of our prophets. They tend to have a prophetic intercession. And prophetic intercession is, Lord, I'm praying for this circumstance, and I don't know all that you're wanting to do. I want to pray intelligently. I want to pray in accordance with the will of God, but I don't know. Grant me, Lord, understanding. Show me, Lord, how to pray. Give me some insight in this circumstance so that I might pray more effectively. And in that place, the intercessor, they get a scripture, prompting, a thought, a direction of prayer, prophetic intercession, standing in the gap on behalf of another, intercessory prayer. It seemed to me in the middle of the night last night, I come up with another subcategory, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember it. So there's more out there. There's more to this. I'm just giving you a surface sermon here. Then, of course, there in 1 Timothy 2, it tells us that one of the types of prayer is thanksgiving. This is a prayer of gratitude. A prayer of gratitude. Now, I spoke on this on my last sermon, but I'll just say this. The prayer of thanksgiving flows from a heart of faith that joyfully acknowledges that God is in control of His universe, that there is no circumstance beyond His divine intervention. The prayer of thanksgiving is also a declaration of God's nature, you know, of His goodness, His faithfulness, His wisdom and power, which permeates every answer to prayer, no matter how He answers. So you catch that. This is a prayer of gratitude, but I'm firmly convinced that when we give thanks, it is a prayer of faith. It is a prayer of trust that God hears, that God answers, that God's universe is under His control. And I'll tell you what, thanksgiving will help you be a happy prayer. You know what? Lord, deliver me from this kind of prayer. Oh, God, it's so bad over there. I just don't know. It just doesn't look like anything good can come out of it. And I hope somehow you'll do something. Amen. You're laughing because you prayed that way too. But thanksgiving goes, lifts its face. Well, it looks bad. But God, you're on the throne. And I'm coming in faith and in the name of Jesus. God, just come in your power and your wonderful wonder and just do something marvelous. Because you're so good. You're so awesome. And you intervene in our circumstances. I thank you, Lord. I don't know how you're going to answer. I don't know when you're going to answer or in what way. But, oh God, it's going to be exciting to see how you answer. Because you're at work. See, thanksgiving brings faith in it. And it'll put joy in your life when you pray. Because it recognizes God's in control. Well, another type of prayer that's not in this scripture here is the prayer of spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And if you drop down to verse 18, we are told that we should be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So there are prayers of spiritual warfare. Now, in your daily prayer, in that regular prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation, lead my life, guide me by the power of the Holy Spirit, and deliver us from evil," the Greek word, "from the evil one." It's the daily prayer. There are prayers of spiritual warfare. Let me say something very briefly, just small rabbit trail here. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. There are other verses that say that people are responsible, that people, apart from demonic activity, can cause problems. That not every problem you face is a demonic problem. But in context here, the overall battle that you and I fight is a spiritual one. It is against the devil. There are demons. And this scripture says there are hierarchies. Let's translate it. Foot soldiers, sergeants, lieutenants, colonels, majors, generals. There are different... And right at the head of the army is Satan himself. And by the way, you're probably not special enough to ever been tempted by Satan. Just one of his cronies. And if you've been tempted by Satan, you're special. Because he's pretty busy. And he's not omnipresent. Only God is. Satan can't be everywhere at once. He may be able to travel at the speed of light for all we know, but he is not omnipresent. But we are in a spiritual battle. And we're to pray at all times in the Spirit. What's praying in the Spirit? It's a spiritual prayer. It's a spiritually minded prayer. Seeking God. Being led by God in the prayer time. But it is prayers of spiritual warfare that sound something like this. "Lord, we see darkness coming in this circumstance. But in Jesus' name, by the authority of that name, we rebuke this work of darkness, and ask, Lord, that you would defeat the work of Satan. Let your victory come forth." So prayers of spiritual warfare. In conclusion, I want us to just say, let us pray. Let's pray. The issue is not try to do all these things, but rather be aware that as you pray, as you grow in prayer, the Holy Spirit will lead you into these different types of prayer. Now, general daily prayer will often contain these types of prayer. And sometimes we may need to bypass general prayer to pray with a particular focus, maybe for a certain season of time. But that should not be the norm. Your quiet time should not be spiritual warfare every day. You're called into a relationship. Walk with God. But that's going to be part of your prayer life. It's going to be part of, and it's going to be elevated at times. There are going to be seasons of spiritual activity where we're going to just be praying a lot of spiritual warfare. The other times we're just going to be doing a lot of thanksgiving or intercessory prayer or just offering petitions. But the Holy Spirit, He'll guide us. So don't lock into a legalism. I've got to cover, touch all the bases. You know, it's like hitting a baseball, hitting a home run, and you ran around but you missed second base. What happens, Rob Bragg, if you run the bases and you miss second? On the appeal. Unless you go back and run them all again, I guess. Could you run them all again? You'd be safe. It don't happen.
They just got a carry in there.
Yeah. If they can't find the ball, it's to your advantage. But at any rate, you know, don't be legalistic. Be free. Be led by the Spirit. Seek the Lord daily, and He will guide you into these areas. Like the trolley, great power lies just above our heads. And all we need is to lift that pole of prayer that connects to the heart of God, and we will enter in and join into a partnership with God in the coming of the kingdom here on earth. Amen? So, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, that first off, this tremendous privilege to have a God who makes Himself accessible, who attends and listens to the prayers of His people. Not only that, but who hears and answers prayer, who intervenes in historic events, changes different circumstances through the prayers of Your people. So I pray for us, Lord, encourage us to be a people of prayer. Teach us, Lord, how to lift our arms and lift our hearts in prayer and connect to You, O God, so that Your kingdom moves forward. We work with You, co-laborers with You. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.